This is the UCLA Mindful Monday Meditation. Each week, Marvin G. Belzer, or one of our UCLA Mindful teachers, leads a 30-minute guided session offering a variety of themes and practices to cultivate self-awareness, emotion regulation, and increased well-being. Thanks for joining us.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Monday meditation. It's good to be here. If you're new to meditation, you may be surprised that the basics are relatively simple and very doable. Hope to give clear guidance as to how to proceed with one form of meditation, mindfulness meditation. Whatever our goals or hopes, whatever brings us here, practice in a very simple way. You know, we use our ability to decide where to place attention, and then we just use that ability as best we can to kind of maintain some continuity. And we focus on elements of experience that are not terribly exciting. Indeed, we choose elements of experience that are not terribly exciting. And there's something about focusing on sensations, like sensations connected with the breath, which very often are very good for our purposes, because focusing attention on something real, something actually happening for us, that is relatively neutral, has good effects. It's a way of cultivating the conditions for more concentration, clarity, stability, and so forth. And so most, not all, but most forms of meditation begin this way, one way or another, even though the objects of consciousness may differ. And then one thing we'll find is, you may even be surprised, that it's relatively easy to do. And you also may then be surprised by how hard it is, right? And so our minds will not just naturally remain focused on something relatively neutral. Our minds are really good at paying attention to what needs to be paid attention to. And after a few breaths, or maybe a dozen breaths, you know, quite naturally our intelligence kicks in, like, okay, I probably have more important things to do than just sit here focusing on my breath. And you may well have more important things to do. I don't know. But typically we have a lot of things on our minds, right, that we need to get done. Or even more interesting, in a way, that something will occur to us in the meditation, a memory or a thought, and that will lead to other thoughts and so forth. And very quickly, the mind moves fast, one thought to another to another. And then at some point we realize, oh, right, I was going to try to focus on my breath, but now I've wasted 12 minutes, you know, thinking about whether I should cut my own fingernails or go get a manicure, you know. That's not an example from me, but I'm just saying what you might be thinking about. So in any case, it's good to have a sense of humor. And when we notice the attention has drifted, we have not failed. Indeed, we have that invitation just to include what's going on as part of the meditation, just that recognition. Thinking, planning, worrying can be useful at times, to use even that quiet labeling, thinking, planning, whatever it is. Don't be too precise, just recognize in some way. Often emotions will be present. With mindfulness practice, we do include whatever emotions, even ones we wish we weren't having, just that simple recognition, anxiety, fear, sorrow, so forth, but also positive emotions like joy, gratitude, just that recognition. with a focus to our bodies. Like, what do I feel in my body with anxiety, for instance? This is more of an invitation than a job. And then when we kind of remember what we're doing, we just let the attention come back to the simpler elements of experience, like the breath. So let's go ahead. Eyes can be open or closed. Might take a few deeper breaths as we begin, slightly deeper in breath and out breath. Maybe even a little sigh with the out breath. It's just one way to begin. And letting your breath be normal. We'll come back to the breath in a minute. For now, just notice the sounds that you can hear. And notice how easy it is. We just kind of shift our, in the midst of whatever is happening, we kind of focus on what we can hear. Not trying to hear everything or keep track. So this is definitely doable, right? It's just we don't have to stop anything else. We don't have to control the sounds. We don't have to hear everything. Just in the midst of moment after moment, kind of giving priority to some of the sounds that are happening. Just letting them come. It's very receptive. So you can stay with sounds if you wish to. You really can. It's a great way to meditate. It's also good to practice with our bodies some. So when you wish, letting your attention settle into your body and beginning with our bodies kind of in the same way as with sounds, just generally noticing what physical, tangible sensations come into consciousness. Head, shoulders, arms, hands, torso, legs, feet. And there are some of the sensations in our bodies are tending to be relatively neutral. So these are the ones we use for this type of meditation. The sensations connected with the normal breath tend to be pretty good much of the time. So not breathing deeply the way we began, just letting the breath happen. There tend to be some sensations we can notice in the abdomen, the chest, or at the opening of the nose. So how do you know when the in-breath is beginning? Sensations, right? The abdomen, slight rising, tensing, likewise in the chest, flow of fine sensations at the nose. So don't try to observe everything here, just maybe letting the attention rest, so to speak, somewhere where it seems good enough. The abdomen, the chest, or the opening of the nose, just knowing when the in-breath begins, when the out-breath begins, it unfolds, dissolves. Next in-breath, and so forth. If the breath doesn't feel quite right, we can use sensations in our hands or feet, or come back to sounds. But don't try to get it perfect, right? So we're not trying to get something out of the sensations. It's a mental activity of focusing attention, sustaining the attention with something relatively neutral that is the catalyst for more clarity, stability, peace. And we don't have to try to make something happen. That's not part of it. Whatever is working here, it's not because we try to make it happen so much as just allow it to happen as we kind of give the effort to keeping the attention focused and relatively stable and receptive. Go back to sounds whenever you wish. Then when you notice the attention has drifted, as I mentioned, it will. It's not a failure. It's the nature of our minds to move quickly from one thing to another. So we don't want to just kind of flow with that, but we don't have to squelch it either. So notice that even if your mind is racing, which is not uncommon, even in the midst of this flow of thoughts and so forth, we can be aware first that this is what's happening. And then we can even in the midst of it, just okay, notice one breath, this in breath, what can I feel? And even if one in breath is the max this morning, still you can notice that. So we can practice mindfulness, whatever is happening. There might be physical pain, which is drawing your attention all the time. And so you can notice this is odd in a way, but with mindfulness, we actually bring attention into the pain, noticing what it feels like, and then shifting the attention somewhere else, not painful. So it may not be the breath, it may not be sounds, but it might be somewhere else in your body where there isn't pain. And indeed, this simple shift of attention can be quite useful. So the same principle is what we're using generally. So even when there is kind of that recognition of anxiety or sorrow, just that recognition, noticing what it's like, what it feels like in our bodies, not a job so much as an invitation, and then reconnecting with the breath or somewhere else. So I'll be silent for a bit. We can practice together. So we'll take a few more minutes for the meditation together today. Just to continue if you wish. Or if you wish, you might shift to a practice that we've talked about, kindness practice. Again, just bringing to mind someone who you like and where the relationship is relatively simple, not complicated. A person or a non-human animal. Absolutely no rush, playful. You might really feel good enough just connecting with the breath or sounds. Just hear my voice as sounds, I'm not really telling you what to do. If you are trying this, just keep it easy. The idea is we want to think of someone where it's relatively easy, and we can practice kindness and wish people well, even when things are complicated in one way or another. But it's good to practice with someone relatively easy. Just holding this person or animal in mind, maybe a visual image, maybe not. You might notice why they come to mind. What do you appreciate about them? What do you like? And then wishing them well. May you be happy. May you be peaceful. May you be safe. Just using some phrases like that, maybe those, but maybe others. Just a three or four, just repeating them can be a good focus for this. We're not trying to make ourselves feel something. We might feel something, and when we do, then we include that, including the sensations in our bodies of love, appreciation, so forth. But we don't rush to try to make something happen that way. And today, to make it even easier, in the chat, there's a mention of a person named Olena, the person who kindly turned in my missing wallet. So just, this is more of a command now. I command you, in my authority as your meditation teacher for the moment, to think of Olena, whoever that may be, wherever they may be. Just recognize that they turned in a missing wallet. We don't know the circumstances. It was probably Saturday night at a square dance, I suppose. I don't know. Wallet's just laying on the floor. We've been in that situation, right? Shall I help? Shall I not? And no, it was not a square dance. The chat says it was a square dance. I don't have ESP, I swear. I've just put in two and two together. In any case, the circumstances don't matter. We don't know, Elena. Would you like to tell us more, though? God, there's Carol.
Sure. Hi, Marv. Carol and Sarah here. It's windy in this beautiful park we're at, but I was at a park with my nephews. It's fall in Minnesota, and the next day I discovered my purse was really light. My wallet was missing, and I, went through all the, oh my gosh, and I put a hold on the cards. And Monday I got a call from the bank that someone had turned that in. They wouldn't accept a reward. They wouldn't even accept a thank you. They just said, I knew it was the right thing to do. And I thought that was so incredible. So incredible. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you for sharing. So we'll take another minute to conclude our meditation now that we have the details a little more firmly in mind. Olena went beyond the call of duty. May you be happy. May you be peaceful. May you be safe. Wherever you are right now, whoever you are, whatever is happening. May you be happy. May you be peaceful. May you be safe. So thank you. It's good to practice with you. The basics of mindfulness are relatively simple. We use our ability to decide where to place attention. The sensations are available for us and can be used, and we can practice the practice of kindness that we did at the end, a different sort of meditation, but goes well with the basics of mindfulness. And it is very interesting how easy it is, right? We're not thinking of Elena this morning as some sort of reward. And I don't assume my thoughts have any physical or any sort of impact on that person. I don't know, but I don't assume that. As a practice, though, it's like, oh, yeah, that was easy, right? That was easy to appreciate the goodness. Without any other knowledge of who the person is, and to like turn my attention to that goodness and wish them well. And as a practice, sometimes we will feel a positive emotion, sometimes we won't, but it is a practice of that can be very supportive, both for deepening concentration as well as just kind of creating our mind, our heart in a way that is receptive to this reality, right? It's not make believe in the least, right? It's just focusing on a real thing, and kind of not even like making a kind of a kind of not connecting it with, oh my God, things are so bad, but at least there's one person in the world who turned in a wallet. It's not that sort of thing. We know that the world is permeated with goodness all around us, right? And so that can be fine to reflect on, but as a practice, we keep it really simple, right? It can be a very useful support for the basics of mindfulness practice. And then it is a practice that, of course, we can do with people in our lives that are a little more complicated than Elena, right? I mean, thinking of that person is easy because we have one specific fact and we don't have any other connection. And of course, it's good to practice with people we know where there is a connection and where it is a little more complicated, right? We want to be careful if we think of someone where there are difficulties and so forth, that our minds don't kind of just slip off into mulling over the difficulties. However, we can practice with people where it's even difficult, but the practice is the same. In the midst of whatever we know and so forth, we focus on, okay, here's something I appreciate about them. And we're not sugarcoating, we're not pretending. And if, you know, we might think of someone where, wow, we're in a big fight. And this is hard, but I'm going to try to practice kindness with them in mind. And we try to think of something good about them. Like, no. There may be times where we can't think of anything good, so we don't have to try to practice with everyone this way. Really, it's not that sort of thing. It's much more playful. Even though in principle, it might be possible with anyone. I don't know. I don't know. With people who are super difficult, sometimes I think compassion is a much more accessible insofar as we're drawn to practice with them in mind, or we notice our minds are just preoccupied with them. It's, you know, or the information we receive is kind of leading us to be preoccupied with them. Just like recognition, compassion is a somewhat different practice where we focus on the suffering of another, not their goodness, but the suffering, and wish them freedom from suffering. And this also can be done with people who are close to us, and so forth. But it also can be done with people who are not so close to us, but where they're difficult for us. And it also can be done with authenticity, no matter how much we despise them. We recognize the suffering and we form the thought, may you be free from suffering. And again, I don't assume that has impact on them. It may, I don't assume it does. But it definitely can be helpful for me, actually, to kind of cut through patterns of rumination and so forth. And it can be done with, you might try it. Try it with someone who you don't, who you really don't like. And just, it's just form the thought, I know you're suffering. May you be free from suffering. And I think the reason it can be done with authenticity is that, everybody's suffering one way or another. And even if we despise the person, we can have that recognition the world would be better if they weren't suffering. And again, if you try it and it's like, no, that's not helping, great. We're not remodeling everything here, but we can be smart. In addition to the basics of mindfulness, we can use these practices like kindness and compassion to kind of work with our minds, especially when we notice that we're in patterns. And then when all we run out of gas, just think of Elena who turned in the wallet, right? Thank you for sharing that, and thank you for your practice. Listen.
Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Monday Meditation. For more information about our classes, workshops, and retreats, please visit uclahealth.org/UCLA Mindful. Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.